Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
It's truly an honor to be here in this house this morning. I thank my dear brother, Reverend Tony Yeo, for this wonderful opportunity. I've been blessed through the leadership of Pastor Tony. I served along with him in Evangelical Alliance of Singapore, as well as the Celebration of Hope. And it's from these experiences that I've learned from his life and have been able to, learn more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I thank the Lord for Pastor Tony and especially the leadership of this church, which has been instrumental in discipling the nation and the nations. Especially, I like to appreciate a couple from this church. Many of you would know them, Brother Philip and Sister Fijian, who was instrumental in mobilizing Covenanters to adopt dormitories and to reach out to the nations within this nation. And the vision that God gave to Sister Fijian, today we have this ministry that has touched thousands of guest workers here in Singapore. I still remember how Sister Fijian and Brother Philip reached out and said, hey, we'd like to partner you. And we remember them going to, the Covenanters going to Mustafa. How many of you know Mustafa? That's the icon of Singapore, right? After the Merlion is Mustafa, right? The two M's, right? Right. So Mustafa and along the stretch of Mustafa, during the height of the pandemic, Covenanters were distributing meals to guest workers. And through that, the love of God was shown. And today that work has borne much fruit, where we have seen many people come to the love and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is truly a privilege to partner Covenant because you are truly a disciple-making church. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. And I'm especially grateful for Covenant for doing this series on discipleship, especially today, discipling or blessing our foreign guest. Now, many of us will know this term migrant workers. I don't call them migrant workers. I call them guest workers. Why I call them guest workers is because they have left their nation and come to our nation. And as they have come to our nation as foreigners, we play host to the nations. So turn to the person beside you and tell them you are a host to the nations. Amen. And like any good host, if somebody comes to your house, what do? You embrace them, you feed them, you make sure they have a wonderful experience with you and your household. And when they leave your house, they leave with a sweet taste in their mouth, right? Nobody wants people to leave your house with a sour taste, right? Yeah. And that's the same way when guests from different nations come to our land, it's our mandate to be good hosts to them, to love them, to care for them, and to be there with them. Amen? And that's why this series, this message this morning is so important. Well, friends, there are people living in our midst that are invisible to most. Why invisible? Because they live on the suburbs of Singapore. In places like Tuas, Sungai Gadog, Kranji, Woodlands, right? And other different parts which are most of the time out of sight for most of us. And their pain, their suffering, their plight has gone unseen and even some unheard. And the marginalized and the oppressed are close to the heart of God. And this is what we got to understand. God loves everyone the same. Come on, turn to the person beside you and tell them, God loves everyone the same. You could be here for the first time. Know that God loves you. That's why you're here. Amen? And that by you coming today, you're opening your heart to encounter God in ways you've never imagined before. And God wants His church to serve the lost, the last, and the least. But my friends, the church has sometimes become a holy club where members have its privileges and we're very comfortable within the four walls of the church. And that's why God has mandated for us, the church, not just to look within, but to look out without, to look outside, right? And that's why I believe that the church is a home for all. Well, my friends, Singapore has the privilege to host the nations within this red dot. And we have 1.5 million foreigners residing or working here in Singapore. How many? That's a lot of people, right? One-fifth of our population are foreigners. And out of that, 800,000 are guest workers who work in this land. Blue-collar workers. And out of the 800,000, 480,000 of them are guest workers that live within dormitories. Another 280,000 of them are our domestic helper sisters who live and serve and work in our midst, in our homes. And I believe that God has given Singapore a privilege. And this privilege is not bestowed to many, but to some. And I believe that Singapore is one of the few countries around the world that plays host to the nations within the nation. Amen? We don't even have to take a flight out of Singapore to reach nations. God has brought the nations to our doorstep. And that's why I believe that we, the church here in Singapore, have been given the great mission to do global missions locally. All it takes is for us to leave our comfort zones and to go to places like Tuas, Penjuru, Terusan. Most of these names we have never heard of because it's so far away. But it's here within our tiny red dot. So my friends, even as we hear this message this morning, I pray that you will open your hearts to receive what God has in store for you. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that even as I speak, may all words touch and inspire the hearts of each one of us. I pray that, Lord, through this message, we'll be inspired to arise and serve the nations within our nation, O God. So speak to us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. But God has given His church a very clear instruction. And this instruction is given in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. Now this verse has been a mandate that God has put in my heart, especially to mobilize the church in Singapore to respond to this call. And let's read this together, the book of Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. And if a stranger, a foreigner, a stranger, dwells with you in your land. Now, do we have foreigners in our land? Yes. So I believe that God is speaking to us, right? So what do we do if foreigners are in our land? You shall not mistreat them. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born. That means this foreigners who have come from foreign lands are now, we are mandated by God to treat them as family. Wow. Right? And as you know, family members, right, are people who are most of the time close to our heart. And we care for them, we serve them, we honor them because they are family. And God goes on to say this, and you shall love them as yourself. Wow. Why? For you were once strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Here we see three clear instructions that God has given His church. Number one is not to mistreat these strangers. Now we might say, but I don't mistreat. I've never done anything to harm them. I've not spoken against them. In fact, I don't even acknowledge them. And the truth is this, sometimes because of our differences, I would say this, we tend to put them at arm's length. They are there, I'm here, I don't wish to see them. And in a way, God says that is also mistreating them because we don't care about them. There's indifference in our life and there's indifference in our heart towards these guest workers. And sometimes we feel that we are more superior to them. But God says, no, we are equals. Why? Because that's where number two comes in. We are family. Say this with me. We are family. So God is saying to treat these foreigners who have come from foreign lands into this little red dot as family. That means what you would do to your brothers and sisters, to your sons and daughters, to your fathers and mothers. Do it unto them. Treat them as your elder brother, your younger sisters who are working here in this land. Care for them, honor them, serve them, inquire of them. Don't butch up them. Right? And God goes on to say this, the third mandate is to love them as you would love yourself. Now, this is hard. Because we all love ourselves, right? Hello? How many of you don't love yourselves? We all love ourselves. That's why we eat. We wear nice clothes. We take care of ourselves. We have supplements and we go to the gym, you know. And all these things. We do this because we love ourselves. In the same way, God says, don't just love yourself. Love these foreigners, these guest workers as your own self. Make time for them. Make room for them. Go out of your way to reach out to them. Go to the dormitories, visit them because they matter to God. Amen? Well, many people look at me and say, Pastor, you know, this is your full-time job, right? I say, no, this is not my full-time job. It's my full-time mission that God has given me to love and care for these guest workers. But this has not been the case for me all the time. See, when I grew up in a pastor's family. My father was a pastor for more than 50 years. And as my father pioneered the church that I pastor now, Life Center, or the church that I oversee now, our church was known to be a church that embraced guest workers. So about 40 over years ago, my dad would go out to Sembawang Shipyard and reach out to the guest workers, embrace them. And many of times, they would turn up in our house at wee hours of the morning. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, they would knock on the door and come and share their concerns, their mistreatment and all the things that they go through, even the joys and the accolades, even the birth of their children. They would come to share this joy. And we would receive them as a family. And my father would reach out to them and say, hey, since it's late at night, why don't you stay back with us, stay in our house? And well, me being the naughty boy, my father would always arrow these brothers to sleep with me. And you got to understand, I know I'm a bit small size right now, right? Why are you laughing at me? I lost weight, okay? You know, when I was younger, I was much bigger. For those of you who know me then, I was almost double this size. And I didn't sleep on a king-size bed or a queen-size bed. I just slept on a single bed. Now imagine sharing a single bed with a guest worker. Now that, to me, was the worst torture I could go through as a young boy. Why? Because when we were on the bed, basically, our two faces were not even 1 millimeter apart. I could smell every breath. I could smell the coconut oil. I'm telling you, everything from them, it just transferred over. But not only that, they were sharing their stories with me that night. They couldn't keep quiet. They were sharing, do you know where I came from? As if I cared. I just wanted to sleep. I mean, that's the truth, right? And I was forced to listen to all their stories, their joys, their pains, their sufferings, why they came to Singapore, what they left behind, how they miss their kids, they miss their wife, they miss their family, they miss their church, and how they're so, you know, happy to have a family here in Singapore that embraces them. Well, as I grew up, I started to have a bit of resentment towards them. I disliked them, and in fact, I came to a point where I hated guest workers. I would bully them. I would, in fact, stand outside church and prevent them from entering into church. At the age of 13, I left the church. At the age of 26, the Lord touched me, and I came back to the house of God. It was there that I gave my life to Jesus, and I pursued biblical studies, and I became a pastor in the church. And I remember preparing to go and share my first message. I got on stage and I was ready to share the word. There, the Lord spoke to me clearly. And the Lord gave me an instruction after service, get down from the stage. I said, and do what? Call out every guest worker from the church and give them a hug. I said, no way. Yes, thank you. See, at least I got one person who responded to me. God bless you, man. I said, no way. And you know something? The Lord says, son, if you can't love them, you cannot serve me. I said, Lord, I'm called to serve Singaporeans. No, you're not. You're called to serve everyone. Every living creature on the face of the earth. No prejudice. I said, Lord, but I find it hard. So do it. And so, you know, when you come to ministry, you die to yourself, right? So I said, Lord, okay, I die to myself. I'll do it. I came down from the pulpit. I invited every brother from the church. They were first apprehensive because I used to beat them up. I used to torture them. Now they say, what is the guy doing? And I called them. I started to embrace them. I said, I love you, my brother. I gave them a hug, one by one by one. And after a couple of months, I would see the number of brothers increase in our church because people from different parts of Singapore would come. You know for what? A hug. I was called the hugging pastor in Yishun. Right? But that hug meant so much to these brothers because it showed that someone cared for them. Did I care? No. Trust me when I say this. I had no feelings towards them. Why did I do it? Because God said do it. I did it reluctantly. I did it grudgingly. I did it with so much of pain inside myself. Why must I do this, Lord? But I did it week after week after week, month after month after month, until the Lord changed my heart. And the Lord gave me a love for these brothers. That even though I could not speak their language, I can't speak a word of Tamil. When I speak in Tamil, it's comedy time in my church. Right? I can't speak. And I struggle. I still struggle. But I will come and try to plug words from which I heard in the church and I hear people saying, and I try to put in a sentence and communicate with them. And most of the time, I'll end up making a fool of myself. But that was okay because I was trying to reach out to these brothers. And things evolved. And lo and behold, in April 2020 or March 2020, while doing my devotion, the Lord showed me a picture of men behind bars. And in my little mind, I thought, maybe it's prison ministry. God, you want me to go to serve in the prisons? And the Lord said, son, look closer. Son, look closer. I saw that these were Asian men. They were men from Asian, South Asian countries. I said, Lord, do you want me to reach out to South Asian men in prison? Lord says, look closer. So I said, look closer. I saw it was not a prison, but it was dormitories. I said, what do I do, Lord? Lord says, feed them. I say, why feed them? Do you got money to buy food, what? Correct or not? Lord said, feed them. I didn't understand. But lo and behold, it was during the time that the pandemic broke out. I didn't know what was happening during the pandemic because I was busy preparing to spend time with my kids at home. I had two young kids. And you know, when you have kids at home during the pandemic, it's a pandemic. Right? I'm telling you. Right? You need to plan your whole day. What to do, how to spend, to study, when to teach them. And it was hard. And that alone was a challenge for me. But now the Lord was telling me something else. Hey, feed them. And so, me being an obedient child to God, what did I do? I said, Lord, I'll do something. So I call up a dormitory in Sungai Gadok, 500 brothers. I said, we will give you one meal on Good Friday, the 13th of April, 2020. We call up a caterer and I got a big lobang. This lobang, $3 biryani. You must ask Philip and Fijin. $3, cannot get it in Singapore. But $3, awesome, fantastic chicken biryani. So $1,500, wow, we can do. I was so full of myself. Wow, so happy I obeyed God. Now 500 brothers are going to get biryani on the 13th of April. And that afternoon I came back, evening I was doing my devotion. And this is what my friend, listen to this, tell the person beside you, be devoted. Come on, tell the person beside you, be devoted to your devotion. Let me spend time with God, simple as that, right? Right? So, as I was doing my devotion, the Lord spoke to me. And the first thing the Lord asked me was this, son, who gave the number 500? I said, Lord, that's what I can do. And the Lord says to me, hey, son, if you can do this, where am I in this? I said, okay. So, what's your number, Lord? And the Lord gave me a number, Sa Chap Cheng. I said, Siawa. Sa Chap Cheng, how? 30,000, how? And Lord says, that's where I will be. Cut the long story short, October 2020, we did an audit. We had given out 1.2 million meals. Give God the glory. Come on, it's on me, it's God. We touched thousands upon thousands. Today, many years later, we have planted 7 churches, 2,000 salvations. Today we heard how many 500 have come to know Jesus and through this church alone. Many, 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 many guest workers from different nations have come to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, did I plan this? No. God is in the midst of us, my friends. When we can do these 3 things, when we can not mistreat them, but love them, right? Love them, treat them as family. That's where God will turn up and show you phenomenal things. So my friends, I believe that God has called us, the church, to show his love, his mercy, and his care. There's a story in the Bible, taken from the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. And this is a familiar passage for all of us, right? The Good Samaritan. And he says in verse 25, a certain lawyer, an expert in Mosaic law, stood up to test Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, these two, we all know by heart. I believe every one of us who are Christians, believers here, are covenanters here, we know this by heart. Loving God, loving people is our mandate. But do we truly love God, and do we truly love his people? Loving God is easy because God loves. But loving people, look at the person beside you. You have to love that person. Yeah, no choice. You must love that person. Why? Because God's word says so. And that's hard. Because people are emotional. People, you know, there are things that happen. And here God is saying, love them. And so this man replied a politically correct answer. And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly." Now comes the hard part. "Do this habitually and you will live." But this man, wishing to justify and vindicate himself, asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? Who are the guest workers among us? I don't see them. They aren't in my vicinity." My friends, loving God and loving people is a mandate that God has given his church. And just like this lawyer, we might ask this question, "Who is my neighbor?" Well, God wants us to look around, search, find, love, care for the people that God has sent to this land. In verse 30, Jesus replied this man by giving this wonderful story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings, beat him, and went their way unconcerned, leaving him half dead. Now, by coincidence, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Now, many of times when we see guest workers around us, we, just like this priest, might pass them on the other side. You know, for this priest, it was so important because he was on the way to the temple. He was on his way to work, right? So his work is his priority. And for a priest, if he touched something that was dead or something that was dying, he becomes unclean or becomes defiled. And as such, he has to go through the process of purification, which will take more time. And now because he had to weigh, is my work more important than the work that God has for us? Is my ministry more important than the person? And sometimes we, the church, we choose the work or the ministry above the person. Because why? It takes time. And here is another part of it, a Levite, right? Likewise, a Levite also came down to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side of the road. Now, my friends, the question to ask is, are we like the priest and the Levite who pass by, who ignore, who are oblivious to the guest workers that God has sent to this land? Because God has mandated us not to mistreat them, to treat them like family, to love them as ourselves. And I believe that's a mandate that God has given us. And now here is a Samaritan, a foreigner, right? Who was traveling and came upon him. And when he saw him, he was what? Deeply moved with compassion. And that's my prayer today, that after this message, after this service, that each one of us will be stirred in our spirits and will be deeply moved with conviction and compassion for the nations that God has brought to our land. And this man, this Samaritan, he went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them to soothe and to disinfect the injuries. And he put him on his own pack animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him." And this is the most important part. "And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I return." Now, that's a blank check, right? How many of us will actually do this to a stranger, to a foreigner? This Samaritan, right, he said, well, if he orders lamb shank biryani, I'll pay for it. If he orders chili crab, I will pay for it. I won't just stick to chicken rice. Hello? Hello? We need a paradigm shift. Sometimes we think by doing good, it's just getting spare change from our pocket, but it costs us something. And this way, God is asking us this question. What does it cost you to love the nations? Does it cost you your finance, your time, your efforts, your resources? Does it even cost you your life to love the nations within this nation? And that's why I believe that God is calling us as the church to respond to this, my friends. Well, this Samaritan, as I shared, who was a foreigner, right? He lived in a place called Samaria. And as you know, for Jews, they would travel. They lived in Judea. They also lived in Galilee. And they would travel from Judah to Galilee. And to pass from Judah to Galilee, the shortest way is to go through Samaria. But because Jews looked at Samaritans as infidels, even they considered them as dogs, they're unclean people, they were willing to make the longer route just to go past them. They looked down on the Samaritans. So how must this Samaritan feel? He must have felt rejected, despised. And in fact, when he saw that fellow Jew, he could have said, nanny, nanny, poo, poo, very, very good. You deserve it because you mock my people. You deserve it. But instead of doing this, the Bible says he was moved with compassion for who? The people who rejected him. Many of times we who are here, we might have some misinformation about guest workers, about these brothers and sisters who have come from foreign lands. But let me tell you this. These are souls that God has sent to your life. And that's why God is saying to us, it is time for us to love them, to treat them as family, and to open our hearts to them. My family, my friends, I want to leave us with this. Jesus said to this man who knew the word of God, he knew the law so well. He says, go and constantly do the same. Go and constantly do the same. And that's what God is mandating us this morning, church, to respond to his call for loving the foreigners in our midst. I want to leave us by giving us a few important principles of reaching the nations within the nation. Number one, understand this, that in order for us to reach the nation, it is a personal relationship. Amen? Discipleship equals to personal relationship. We cannot disciple someone if you're not willing to spend time with them. And that's why it's not about the mass, it's about the one. And many of times when we look at guest workers, we love pictures where there are thousands upon thousands. But let me tell you this, the truth is God is concerned about that one. Are we willing to leave the 99 and say, God, I'm going to focus on this one person. I'm going to journey with them. I'm going to disciple them. Because the truth is there's no KPIs. One soul matters. The Bible says when one is saved, right? What happened? Heaven rejoices. So I want to encourage you, my friends, there's no KPI in the kingdom of God. Amen? Come on, tell the person beside, no KPI. One soul matters. Amen? Now, how do we reach them? We reach them with authentic love. What is authentic love? It's putting aside all our past experiences, our prejudice, our pains, and saying, hey, I'm willing to journey life with you because I want you to encounter the Jesus that is in my life. And that's what he means by authenticity, being vulnerable, being open for them to receive the love of God through your life. And number four is do things consistently. One of the most important things we always tell our volunteers in our outreaches is don't do one-off events. Yes, Christmas is great, Good Friday is great, Easter is great, but that's not the main thing. Do small things consistently. Because what they're looking for is consistency in your life. Do they see Jesus every single time you come? Consistently. Amen? So I want to leave us with the six B's. I hope you can take this down. Six B's in loving and serving the guest workers. Six B's, right? B-E, B's. Number one is be authentic. Be real. Because when you're not real, people can see the facade. They can look through and they will know that it's fake. And what guest workers are looking for is genuine relationships. Today, through the work of BMW, right? Our Blessed Migrant Workers of Covenant, thousands upon thousands of guys have been reached from different nations. Places we never imagined, people have been touched and the gospel has reached these lands. Why? Because of authenticity. Be authentic. Number two, be positive. Always be one who speaks positive. Encourage them because they're already downtrodden. They go through discouragement. They go through a lot of suffering. And that's why they need encouragement. And that's why come with messages of hope. Come with prayer. Come with excitement when you see them. Number three, be kind. Whenever you see a guest worker, be kind. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone and be kind to them. Number four, be sensitive. Sensitive to their needs, to their ethnic and their racial beliefs. Be sensitive. Be active. Be one who is proactive to go out. Don't wait for them to come. Go out in search for these brothers. And last but not least, be creative. Be creative. You know, there was once I parked my car and I saw a group of guest workers at the rubbish, you know, the neighborhood where they collect the rubbish corner. And they were doing their work there. And so I decided to drive and I bought some drinks. I got some packets of potato chips and I came back and I went over and gave it to them. I gave it. They said, no. I said, it's for you, brother. It's for you. And they took it with so much of joy. They said, thank you, boss. Thank you. I said, I'm not your boss, I'm your brother. And I went away. A few days later, I came down from my apartment. And as I was nearing my car, I saw there were a group of guys around my car washing my car. And I said, who are these guys? And the kid said, brothers, what are you doing? He said, no, boss, you park your car under this tree. All birds dropping everywhere white, spoil your paint. And so we wash your car for you because you are my boss. I said, I'm not your boss, I'm your brother. And today we are buddies. Whenever they see me, you know, they greet me, they come, we go for makan together, we invite them up. I'm telling you, all it takes is the act of kindness towards the nations that God has brought to this land. So my friends, what do we do? Look around. Say this to the person beside you. Look around. Look around. Find the nations within our nation. Look around. Your the rubbish area, maybe the person cleaning your neighborhood. Look around. Love them. Serve them. Give a small snack or a drink. Befriend them. And most importantly, pray for them. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. If we can, rise up to our feet. This morning, I believe that God is giving us a clarion call to each one of us here in Covenant. That God has brought the nations within our nation. As a child of God, are we mistreating the nations within our land? And when I say mistreat, get it clear. I'm not talking about saying bad things or doing bad things to them. No. I'm saying about even sometimes ignoring them completely. Not acknowledging their existence as guests in our land. And just like any host to a guest, it is the host who runs out to receive the guest. Do we step out of our comfort zones to embrace the nations within the nation? My friends, God is calling you to this opportunity of a lifetime. And that is to touch the nations. Yes? Go for missions, take a flight, fly to different countries. But listen to this. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity, Raven Hill. And God has brought the nations here to Singapore. Our doorstep. This little red dot is host to 1.5 million foreigners. So look around. Look around. Build relationship. Be willing to disciple one. That one will touch thousands. Treat them as family. Are we willing to embrace them? Love them as our own? My prayer this morning is, Father, give me a heart of compassion. Give me a heart of compassion for the nations. Because you love these brothers, you love these sisters. That's why you brought them to this tiny red dot. Not to just provide for them, but to provide for them the gift of salvation. That as they leave this place, they leave here with the best gift ever, which no money can buy, and that is Jesus. So Father, help us to seize this opportunity that you're presenting to your church. Help us to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and even join Brother Philip and Fijian and the whole entire troop from Blessed Migrant Workers. Maybe we're not part of this group, and maybe in our vicinities, our neighborhoods, they are guest workers. Help us to reach out. Maybe in our coffee shops, in the shopping malls that we go to, maybe even in the car washes that we go to, there are nations that are there. And all it takes to say, hey, brother, so good to see you. I'm here with you. And Jesus commands us, last but not least, that what you would do for yourself, do it unto them. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are gathered here this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being sons and daughters of a living God. What a privilege that is, oh God. And Lord, being sons and daughters, we have been given a mandate. And that is to not mistreat the foreigners in our land. To treat them as family. And to love them as ourselves. Help us, oh God, with the help of your Holy Spirit, to do this, oh God. That even this morning as we leave this place, we leave here with the compassion in our hearts for the nations that you have brought to this land. And where there's opportunities to sow and give, Father, help us to give generously towards this work, oh God. Why? Because every soul matters. So thank you, Father, for the privilege to partner you at your work, to love the nations within this nation. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone say, amen.
Sing the response song. Let us believe that a posture of repentance, a heart of compassion, act of kindness towards our guest workers can push back the darkness in our land, can give our next generation a model of discipleship to them. So let us sing this next song as a prayer to God and ask God, stir that repentance in us. Give us that compassion. Give us that kindness. And in the name of Jesus, all this done in the name of Jesus can push back the darkness in our land.
We sing Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Let's pray, call upon the name of the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
we exalt the name
Jesus, Jesus.
Convict our hearts, God.
Make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Your name is the light that shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
Your name is alive.
Tonight, your name cannot
darkness tremble. Darkness will have to flee. We cry out to you, Father.
You silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
once more we exalt the name of Jesus. Convict us.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
come on, church.
You silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.